You know, through life, we meet all kinds of people, don't we? And they're not as perfect as we are they? We like to take our pencils and say, well, they default on that, but we excel in this. So it's just a matter of an opinion and a viewpoint. There's a person I know, he lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. I've known him for 20 years. And if there's somebody that will find something wrong with something, Larry will. I don't know how many times I've been in a restaurant with him, and he would have his order taken back to the kitchen for either be recooked or redone or whatever it was. Now, he called me last night. He said his chicken salad sandwich was too salty, so he had the waiter take it back. I told him, I said, how many times do you think you've had a salava burger instead of a hamburger? I mean, but he's right, and they're wrong. And he's always criticizing people who eat pork. Now, hear me out. He's not Jewish. He's not Muslim. He's not anything. I think he's a backslidden Baptist. But he criticizes people for eating pork. Well, it is unhealthy if you eat too much of it. But, you know, he just goes on about it. But let me tell you a secret about him. About every other day, he proudly chows down at a nice Taco Bell and eats tacos for lunch. Now, I'm not saying that's health food, but it's not the best you can try either like that. So, you know, we do pick and choose our likes and dislikes like we pick and choose sins, you know, whatever it may be. And so, you know, the title of the sermon here, it really strikes home a lot of times because we do defend our faith a lot of times, but what sort of faith is it? If it's not really the kind that we want to see that's close to a biblical foundation. Apostle Paul was involved in a controversy with people who would not yield but dug their heels in. There were two groups in this church. There were the libertines and the legalists. And, you know, legalistic arrogance can do you in, and so can libertine arrogance. And about 12 years ago, I met a woman at a presbytery meeting. Very dignified. She was really nice to me. And during the presbytery meeting, during a break, she was sharing with me that her church had the most beautiful Tiffany stained glass windows in the United States. Well, I said, I'd love to see them sometime. She said, yes, we are very historical, our church is, and we really try to follow the rituals of the Presbyterian Church. And of course, the 11th commandment, she said, was meeting precisely at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. She says, nothing would cause us to change that. That's a sacrosanctified hour. It's very holy. And I thought, well, I'm not going to start arguing about that. You know, that's irrelevant to me. But she said none of their traditions have been changed in over 40 or 50 years. They keep the same. They've had the same communion set since, I think she said, before Fort Sumter was fired upon in 1861. So, yeah, the church was quite old. It had a lot, really a lot of importance to it. But sometimes that importance can go to the head. You have to be careful about that. And she said also they always kept people, greeters, at the door, but not like we do. They called them gatekeepers. They would have had one at this both side doors in the front. But it wasn't really to welcome people. She says it's to keep the riffraff out. We just don't want those kind of people in our congregation because they might soil the pews or they might smell. And we just don't want them. Now, I'm not saying this to be sarcastic, but I'm just saying that where are priorities in a church if we look at people and the world like that? And this woman was a snob. She was the most snobbish person I ever met. But regardless, she said her church would never change by changing the time of the service or anything. But it did change. You know what happened? It shut its doors permanently 6 years ago. I read about it. It saddened me to know that such a beautiful building was now sitting empty. But she really thought very highly of herself, and so did probably a lot of other people in that congregation. But later at the Presbytery luncheon, I was already sitting down, and she had gone over. She had been talking to some people at various tables, and she was getting ready to go get her food, and she stumbled over somebody's foot and fell. Now, she didn't hurt herself, thank goodness about that. But she did have some bruised pride on that. Perhaps, in my thought, if she hadn't held her head so high, she probably wouldn't have fallen. Howard Dietz, who was a publicity agent in Hollywood years ago, had a sign on his door, "Please don't act important here." I like that. I wish I had one. Defending our rights requires responsibility and a large dose of humility. Think about that. Humility. It's a funny thing, because the Sunday school lesson they were going to teach at Fort Meade after I left was on humility. And I asked the teacher, I said, "Would you please tell me how easy it is to attain humility?" Pride seems to be a very catchy thing, but humility, on the other hand, is very evasive. It's hard to come by and it's hard to keep. Somebody says something to you that's really a backslap, and you start really swelling up, don't you? The hat band size change, if you still wear a hat. A lot of things change. But to be have humility and to be second instead of when you should have been first, that takes a lot of courage to do so. But Paul also had a problem with those libertines as well, who argued that their superior knowledge about spiritual matters exempted them from the dietary laws. See, in the early church, particularly since they had just departed out of the Jewish synagogues, they kept a lot of the traditions of synagogue because a lot of the people were from the synagogue. But the thing about it is they also started admitting new people who were not Jewish, had Jewish background, and they had to be cautious because that eating, say, non-kosher food could have been very offensive to some. But some people thought, well, I can stick my hand into any plate or bowl and eat what I want to. Well, that's okay for today because we don't really have those rituals. But you just think of some things. Well, what about if you're at a dinner and there's some people who are teetotalers, temperance, and they don't believe in the use of consuming alcohol. But you grab the first big bottle of Southern Comfort and pour you a big glass of it in front of them and gurgle it down. Now, I'm not saying that personally it's a personal choice, but just think some people could be really offended by that. And so I knew an Episcopal priest one time used to greet people at the front door with a martini. I thought, well, that's a kind of a little bit too much. They should be more discreet about it. He got defrocked a few years later. But like anything, we try to justify our actions by making up excuses. It was like the Virginia state senator who attempted a DUI exemption statute for himself because of his so-called exalted status as a legislator. By the way, it didn't work, and he was convicted of reckless drunken driving. Just because we have freedom of speech doesn't entitle us to yell fire in a theater when there's no fire. We have to be responsible with our faith. We have to be responsible in our actions too. We just cannot do just anything because we found freedom in Jesus Christ. But, you know, and getting back to our friends, the legalists, they were of the mindset that most things were sinful. They insisted upon strict rules and regulations. But you know, our faith cannot be based on such attitudes because it replaces God with strangulating rules. But there's a lot of people like that. There really are. They think that goat supersedes everything else. But religious faith isn't made up of do's and don'ts, but obeying God means becoming kinder in attitude. So while we acknowledge the importance of spiritual freedom, the determining factor of behavior is our love for one another. E.M. Forster wrote, I don't know if you've ever read A Passage to India, but my favorite quote in it is, God has put us on earth to love and help our fellow human beings. Think about that. If we would only and could live up to that quote daily. Intelligent and faithful Christians will hopefully apply Scripture in a compassionate way, not in a frowning tone, not in a disciplinary attitude. We've seen enough of that through reading church history. It shouldn't suggest that such insights will compromise either doctrine or belief standards. I have another friend. He thinks he has to defend God and the Bible all the time. I said, God's been around for a long time and the Bible has too. And guess what? They both held up fairly well. We don't need to defend God and the Bible. God will take care of that himself. Remember that. We must be tactful and considerate when encountering value systems which may be contrary or collide with our own. It may seem irrelevant to dress in modest clothes to some people, but if it's important to someone, so be it. Ridicule has no place among people of faith, but can we overlook those body piercings? How about some of those tattoos out there? To love the person rather than be repulsed by outward appearances? Yes, we must. Now, a lot of us did not grow up with those characteristics, but that's not going to cause God to disown them, and it should not inframe our attitude toward them either. So be careful when you say something about people that might have a different appearance than you do, because you never know, they're probably listening to what you're saying there, and some of the things that we all say can be quite cruel and unkind. As the media reported a few years ago about a murder tragedy in Paris concerning some French cartoonist who had ridiculed the Islamic prophet Muhammad, their so-called bemused drawings directly led to their deaths. Remember, not everyone has a sense of humor, healthy or unhealthy sense of humor, especially regarding religion. Moral indignance will bite back big time. Don't flaunt things that could offend others is what Paul admonished to the Corinthians. You know, you have to admit, in that time, you know, we talk about a pluralistic society today. Boy, they had one back in Paul's day. I mean, you could walk down the streets of Corinth and find any temple you wanted to. I mean, regardless if it was Roman, regardless if it was Greek or Egyptian or nothing at all. You remember in Athens, Paul witnessed a temple to the unknown God. So that meant they even had a temple for atheists to go to. And I don't know if the agnostics had one. I guess they couldn't make up their mind whether they needed one or not. But remember this, that was very pluralistic. And we have to remember, too, we live in a society where not everybody's going to think the same as we do, use the Ten Commandments or believe in them or the Lord's Prayer. So today, we live in a society that's not that dissimilar to Paul's society in his day. So we should feel quite at home to think, hey, we're just modern Paulists is all we are. We're living in a society that really needs to be reformed with Christianity. But, you know, we've got to be careful about that. And as irritating as some of those manners or customs may seem, our behavior should be guided and signaled by love, graciousness, and gentleness. Attempt to refrain from teasing and mockery will decidedly create grief and harm. Remember that. What you say with your tongue, it's hard to take it back. Plus, it's always in bad taste to insult someone's faith. And I've wanted to use this word for a long time. Pugilistic religion will only lead to pugilistic conflict. Think about that. It might have been a little bit on the strong side to say that, but it will. More wars have been happened because of religion than any other cause. Likewise, there needs to be a focus on the sacred things of life. It's a safety net against self-righteousness and a reminder that God's approach is better. It must always be taken into consideration about the feelings of others, whether we agree with them or not. Sometimes I even disagree with myself. Now, that sounds strange to some people, but hey, you have that right and liberty to disagree with yourself. I have read old sermons going back 15, 20 years, and I said, did I actually say that? So your thought process may change. It may evolve, and hopefully it does for the better and not regress back toward the worse. So we have to keep that in mind. And so a lot of times we tend to forget that we were once there where some of these people are today. And for example, early on in my ministry, while visiting for the first time in a strange new church, I usually was in seminary at the time, and I didn't have a regular church, I always inquired in advance which Bible translation was preferred. Now, that doesn't hold water today because things have evolved since the war between the states. But the thing is that you want to be caring. You want to make sure you don't create any atmosphere of hostility or rejection because of personal insistence on having it your way, like ordering a Burger King Whopper with lettuce or tomato, with or without. So think about that. Yes, you might be right 100%, but when you face somebody that may not agree with you, you may lose a lot of ground or territory. So that goes back to reeling in the fishing line and be a little bit more humble with your approach. But you know, when we were younger, we probably flaunted our arrogance more than we do today. Maturity does have its value in its way. But if you know somebody who may think or believe differently than you, you don't have to run up to them and hit them over the head with a figurative baseball bat. You don't even have to make a comment. Stay silent. You know, what is it? Silence is golden. That means more than anything, and it can. It may even bring on more peace among you and among people that you know. God is pleased when we love others, not because our rights are being threatened, but because we love God. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with everyone. Now you're sitting there thinking, I've got to deal with a jerk tomorrow. What am I going to do about it? Well, you know what? If that person's a jerk and you'll hear comments, you don't have to reply to them. You can just go ahead and move on. That happens to all of us. And sometimes we want to get our fist right up and knock the daylights out of them. But that won't accomplish anything. All it will accomplish is more ill feelings, and it may cause a permanent feud between everybody. Pursue peace with everyone. You know, I don't know if you've ever read James Hilton's novel, A Lost Horizon. Well, it's about a group of people. There was a revolution in China, and that would have been in the 30s, and they were boarding a plane. Well, the plane got hijacked, unbeknownst to them, till the next morning, and they landed on a mountainside in the other side of the Himalayas. And what happened was interesting. They were rescued by some people, and you may recall the city's name, Shangri-La. And there was a high priest Lama there. And he was asked by one of the people there that had been on the plane, he said, what's the predominant religion here in the Shangri-La? And you know what he responded with? No, it wasn't Presbyterian or Baptist or Jewish. He said, moderation is the religion of standard of conduct for all people of faith, not extremism. In other words, you can catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. Do you love God enough to yield yourself and write to Him at this moment? Think about that. As you go on in life this week, and you may have a chance encounter with somebody who may be a jerk or who may think completely opposite of you. But believe me, if you will follow the precepts of our Lord and be a peacemaker, and pursue peace with everyone, it will demonstrate that the Holy Spirit literally has you in His arms. It may be the time to do so. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, sometimes dealing with people can be a difficult matter to come to. Sometimes we want to really input our own rights in and almost push our way to convince them that our way is the best. But not necessarily, oh Lord. Let us yield to You, and let us yield to the way You would want us to handle it. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.